Well, I hope that was a blessing to you and also a challenge to you, because Russia needs more missionaries. We need more people to surrender to go there to preach the gospel. There are many cities across Russia that don't have a good gospel preaching church in them. And those people, they need the gospel. And so we covet your prayers as we get ready to go back. Lord willing, here September 22nd is when we'll be flying back to Russia. And so we're excited to get back, excited to get busy back serving there in Magadan. So we covet your prayers for that. And if you have your Bibles this evening, let's go ahead and take our Bibles and turn there. Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter number 15. And oftentimes people, as they watch your video, they comment and say, "Man, it's so beautiful there." And I, in response, I say, "Yes, it's very beautiful. We have the beach. We have sand beaches. We got the ocean. You name it. We got it all. Come visit us." And then they say, "Well, it's too cold." Most people don't want to come there because it's too cold. And I still haven't been able to win anyone over yet by the sand beaches and the ocean. You know, most people, they want to go to Florida, right, where it's warm, but we still have the same ocean, same beaches. Granted, it's the Pacific Ocean, but maybe one of these days someone will come for the beaches in Russia. But Romans chapter number 15, I'd like to preach to you tonight from this passage. Romans chapter 15 and verse number 30, we'll begin reading here just a few verses. And it says this: "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." For this evening, for the next few moments, I'd like to preach to you just really from this passage, specifically on praying for missionaries. And this is something that the Apostle Paul, he's pleading with the Roman church, and we'll get into this passage in just a moment. But I'd like to challenge you tonight specifically on praying and partnering together with missionaries and praying for them. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing upon this time in his word. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for each person that has set aside time out of their evening. Lord, some have come straight from work. Some have been able to go home before they came to services, but nonetheless, each person here, they've set aside time out of their evening to be faithful to your house, and no doubt each person has come, Lord, desiring to hear from you tonight. And Father, as you've granted me this opportunity to be able to stand here and preach tonight, I pray that it'd be a blessing. I pray that everything I say would be pleasing to you, but it'd be an encouragement and a challenge to each person tonight. And Father, everything that is accomplished tonight will be sure to give you the honor and glory, because you are worthy. We want to give you that honor and glory and praise. It's your wonderful name we pray. Amen. You know, as I think about this passage that we just read, this is the Apostle Paul, as I have already stated, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing this epistle really to a group of believers that, in my understanding, as I've studied this out, he's not yet had the opportunity to even meet. And he's writing this to, even though he's not had the opportunity to meet them, he's writing this letter, this epistle to them, and seeking their encouragement. He's seeking their support and seeking their prayer support. And in a lot of ways, if you were to look at Romans chapter 15, you could even start in about verse 16, 17, or even before that, and we'll read some of these verses in just a few moments, but you would find this, that really it's basically, to put it in modern day terms, it's a prayer letter. And I couldn't help but notice that as I walked in this evening, in the back foyer here, you have an entire board that's two entire boards that are dedicated specifically for the purpose of posting missionary prayer letters. Now, I know sometimes people think, well, what are prayer letters really even for? But prayer letters serve a very important task, or they have a very important job. It's to inform the churches that partner together with a missionary, that it's to inform them in regard to how the ministry is going and how God is using them in the field that God has called them to. And I believe it'd be safe to assume that if a missionary was serving in a foreign field or wherever he may be at, that you as a partner, that you would expect that letter from him, that you would want to hear back from them periodically, because you want to know, as an investor investing in the ministry that God has called them to, you would want to know exactly what is going on. How is God working there? What kind of work they're doing there to reach the people there? And I believe it'd be safe to assume that if a missionary were to stop sending letters, then at some point they'd be receiving a phone call from Lighthouse Baptist Church saying, "Hey, listen, we haven't received a letter from you. What's going on? Why haven't you been sending that? Why? Because you have a vested interest in that missionary. You want to know specifically what they are doing and how God is using them in accordance." And see, as I said, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this epistle, more or less he's writing this, pleading with these Christians to partner together with him and praying for him. But before he reaches that point, he begins to say, "Listen, I want to share with you specifically about what God is doing in and through my life. And not just in and through my life, but specifically in and through the ministry that God has called me to." Now we know, I would say most of us, if you've been around church or been in church for any length of time, that you'd be familiar with the Apostle Paul and the significant ministry and the significant things that God did in and through his life. That as he dedicated his life to God and gave his life to God for service to the Lord, that God used him in astronomical ways to plant churches all across Macedonia, here specifically in New Testament times. And so I would like to direct our attention here specifically to verse 17, and this is the beginning of the Apostle Paul beginning to share specifically about what God has allowed him to accomplish. So direct your attention down to verse number 17. He says this: "I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders and by the power of the Spirit of God." See, as the Apostle Paul, he's about to share these details about what God has allowed him to do, he begins to preface it all by making this statement. He says this, that as I begin to share with you these details and share with you what God has allowed me to accomplish, I want to draw attention to this point that I'm not saying this to bring glory or honor or praise to myself, but rather I'm prefacing this all by saying, listen, anything and everything that God has done and God has accomplished through me and through the ministry that God has called me to, that I want you to know that everything that God has done, it's been God. And God deserves all the honor and all the praise for it. So he's prefacing it by that saying that in verse number 17, that I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. This is God's work and it pertains to God. And so therefore, God deserves the honor and glory for everything that is accomplished. So then as he makes his statement then, and he then goes on to say that my focus and my desire and this calling specifically of God on my life was not to go to Jerusalem and not to go to the Jews and preach to the Jews, but specifically God had called the Apostle Paul through the Macedonian calling in his life was to go specifically and reach who? The Gentiles. And that as he would go and preach to the Gentiles, that these Gentiles, that they'd be saved. And God did some powerful and incredible work, as it states in verse number 19, that as God did this work, and that as through these signs and these wonders and these great things that God did as a result of the power of the Holy Spirit speaking in the hearts and lives of people, he says, "So from that Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Now, I believe it would probably be safe to assume this evening that all of us tonight would know exactly where Jerusalem is located at. Just about every other day you turn on the news, you hear about it. We know where it's at. But most of us, or maybe some of us, a good majority tonight, probably if you were to look at a map, you wouldn't know specifically where Illyricum is at, because it's not on a map today. But I want to point out to you that as the Apostle Paul is giving testimony of this great, powerful thing that God has done and God has allowed him to accomplish through his ministry, he's saying that as God led me and that I had preached in the areas around Jerusalem and that God led me from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. Well, where is Illyricum? You ever heard of the country Yugoslavia? It's in Europe. Nowadays, it's been split up, and it's now known as Croatia and Serbia. Illyricum would be somewhere, I believe today, somewhere close to the Serbian border, but on the Croatian side. So if you know a little bit about geography, that Croatia, if you know where the boot-like peninsula comes down into the Mediterranean Sea in the Middle East there, that just a little bit to the east of that boot-like peninsula in the Mediterranean Sea, that's where Croatia's at. Some portions of Croatia is right on the coast there of the Adriatic Sea. Whereas Jerusalem is all the way on the far eastern side of the Mediterranean Sea. So now, no doubt, there's a significant distance from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. And the Apostle Paul is giving testimony saying, listen, that God had placed this calling on my life. And it wasn't just a calling he placed, but God led me to these areas. And that as I went from Jerusalem and I preached around the areas of Jerusalem and then went from one town to another town preaching the Gospels. And no doubt history proves it and tells us that as he went to those towns, people were saved and churches were founded and that no doubt congregations were established there, and that God did this work. And he said, from one town to another town to another town, all the way to Illyricum, God used the Apostle Paul to preach the gospel specific in this area. But he doesn't stop there. Notice in the very next verses when he says this, yea, so am I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. See, the driving factor here of the Apostle Paul, it wasn't a pride issue. It was this fact that, listen, there's a lot of people out there that have never heard the gospel, and I don't want to go to an area where the gospel's already been preached, where there's already people doing the work that God has called them to do, but I want to go to those areas where the people have not heard the gospel. And he says, because of that, this calling God had placed my life, I went from this town to this town to this town and went all the way to Illyricum, preaching the gospel specifically to those people that had never heard the gospel. In a lot of ways, it's just like missions today. So many missionaries you hear about today, they're going to areas. Why? Because they're going to an area that the gospel has not yet been preached. And so they have a burden, a calling on their life to go to those countries and preach the gospel there. Why? Because they need to hear the gospel. And the Apostle Paul, no doubt, is giving testimony of this great accomplishment that God allowed him to do, to go in this entire area and preach the gospel and reach these people with the gospel. And he's giving testimony of that. Then he says this in verse number 21, he says, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, he says, whensoever I take my journey, I will come to you. See, the Apostle Paul, he begins as he's writing writing these Roman believers here, he's sharing with them the details about what God has allowed him to accomplish. And then he says this, that as I'm reaching this point in ministry, that God had led me to this Macedonian area to preach to the gospel to those that had never heard the gospel. But he says, now I'm reaching a point in preaching in this area that there's no more place that the gospel has not been preached. Think about that. What an incredible testimony of God using the Apostle Paul from this large, vast area, from Jerusalem all the way to Croatia, all the way to Illyricum, preach the gospel in all these areas so there does not remain a single place where the gospel hasn't been preached, that the Apostle Paul is saying, there's no more place for me to preach. And so he says this, that now as God has placed this burden in my life to preach the gospel to those that have never heard, I believe now God is leading me to a place called Spain. We see that in that last verse I read. He said, this is what God has allowed me to accomplish in this great way. It was nothing I did, but it was God working through my life, the power of the Holy Spirit being upon me and convicting hearts and speaking to hearts and changing lives and people being saved, into where now that I've reached this point where all these people, they've heard the gospel.
The gospel message has sounded that now God is leading me in a new direction and ministering. He says this, that in verse number 23, he says, but now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. So he's saying this, that as I'm completing the ministry, my ministry here in Macedonia, that I believe God is now leading me to Spain. Another area where the gospel message probably hasn't been preached yet. And that as God is leading me now to Spain to preach the gospel, that I've had this desire for many years, that as I've heard about the testimony of the churches there in Rome and the Christians there in Rome, as I've heard about the excitement and the zeal and the passion you have for Christ, said, for a while now I've had this desire to come to you in Rome. And he says, now that God is leading me to Spain, I have this desire that as I go to Spain, I will literally be going right past Rome. My desire is that as I go past Rome, that I can come, that we can come together, that we can fellowship, that we can be refreshed and rejuvenated, and our zeal, our passion for Christ be renewed together as a result of our fellowship together. And we'll see that countless times here in this passage. I believe it's four different times that he mentions specifically this desire to come together with these Christians here in Rome and to fellowship with them. Because he knows that as a result of that fellowshipping, there's going to be a refreshing, a renewing that's going to take place. And he's saying, I desire that. I desire that. I desire to come to you. So then notice in verse number 24, as he continues on, he says this, for I trust to see in my journey to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. So he shared what God has allowed him to do, the direction that God is leading him to go to Spain. And then he says this, and here's what's going on this very moment right now. And you can read the account here. For time's sake, I'll just summarize what he's saying up. But what he's saying is this, is that now God has put me in this specific position. That the churches in Macedonia, that the Apostle Paul, that he's been preaching in, that he's been ministering in, that they felt this overwhelming burden, desire to be a blessing to the persecuted church in Jerusalem. See, these Macedonian churches, they were not rich churches. They were poor churches. And in many ways, they probably didn't have two pennies to rub together. But they were thankful for the work that God had done through their lives. They were thankful that through the Apostle Paul, that God had brought the gospel to them. And so they had this great desire to be a blessing to the Christians, the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. So they collected up this love offering and they commissioned the Apostle Paul, and they said, Apostle Paul, we are putting this responsibility on you for you to take this love offering gift back to Jerusalem to be a blessing and encouragement to the saints there. That as we have become partakers of the gospel and we have experienced the love of God in our lives, and we at least can then demonstrate our love for God and our love for our brothers and sisters in Christ there in Jerusalem, and we can partake in some of their things, and we can be a blessing to them by giving to them. And the Apostle Paul, we're giving it to you. It's your responsibility, Paul, to carry this gift there to Jerusalem, to those Christians. So the Apostle Paul shares those details, and he says this. Notice once again in verse number 28. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So he shared what God has allowed him to do. He shared the direction God is leading him. And now he's just shared specifically what God is doing right now, where God is leading him this very moment. And then he concludes, in a sense, this thought by saying this. Here's an active way. Here's a very true way that you can have a part specifically in what God is doing in and through me and the ministry that God has called me to. In fact, in verse number 30, as we've already read, that he pleads with these Christians. Notice what he says: I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He says, so in essence, he's saying that if you love God and that love that you have for God and the love that you have for the Spirit of God working, he's pleading with these Christians. He's saying, listen, you can have a part in what God is doing through me and the ministry that God has called me to, specifically by praying for me. Now think about this for a second. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, that as you get down on your knees and you bow your heads before God and you come to God on my behalf and you pray for me in the ministry that God has called me to, that you are a co-laborer together with me. You are a partner together with me. Think about that for a second. Now, wouldn't you have loved to be able to have lived 2,000 years ago when the Apostle Paul lived? The greatest missionary of all time, right? And to have been able to apply this very same truth, he's saying that by getting down on your knees and praying for me, that you are partnering together with me, that you will have a part in what God is doing in and through my life, that as you get down and you pray for me, you have a part in that. The Apostle Paul is saying, you can have a part in that. And then he goes on to say that as he's pleading with them to pray for him, to strive together with him and praying for them, then he says this, and this is how you can pray for me. He says that pray that I be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Now remember who the Apostle Paul was. Before his conversion, before he had met the Master, the Lord that day on the road to Damascus, there was a drastic different lifestyle that he lived, wasn't it? He was known as Saul. He was known as the persecutor of the Christians. He sought to persecute and to silence the gospel. And I believe it would be safe to assume this, that as the Apostle Paul, that as Saul was seeking to persecute Christians, he was not acting alone. There were other people that were going with him and persecuting these Christians and imprisoning them and trying to silence the gospel. But that day when everything in his life changed, that day also something else happened. To many other people, I believe there he became traitor number one. Why? Because they used to be stand arm in arm with Saul persecuting the Christians, and now he is proclaiming the very same gospel that those people absolutely hate. And so as the Apostle Paul, he's getting ready to go into Jerusalem to deliver this gift, this love offering to the Christians there in Jerusalem. He's saying, listen, I am literally entering into enemy territory, that there's people there here in Judea that absolutely hate me and despise me. Why? Because I'm a traitor in their eyes. I'm preaching the gospel and they hate and despise the gospel. And so he's pleading with these Christians in Rome. He's saying, listen, pray for me. That as I go to Jerusalem, that I'd be delivered from these people that absolutely hate and despise the gospel. They have a personal vendetta against the Apostle Paul. Pray for him that I'd be delivered from those that do not believe in Judea. Then secondly, he says this, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. That I, as I go to Jerusalem, I deliver this love offering to these Christians there, the Jews there in Jerusalem, that it'd be well received, it'd be accepted, that other issues wouldn't come up as a result of this, but it would be a blessing, an encouragement to them. In essence, what he's saying is this, is pray that as I go, that God will bless and give fruit, and it'd be a fruitful time there in Jerusalem, that this love offering I'm bringing, it'd be fruitful and profitable for the Christians there. And then thirdly, I want to point out to you, he says this, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. So the third thing he's specifically asking for prayer about is this, is pray that as I accomplish this here in Jerusalem, that God allows me to, God continues to open this door that I can come to you in Rome and that we can have this fellowship together. We can be refreshed together. We can be encouraged together. So I can be rejuvenated then and there before I go on to Spain. You know, as I look in this passage, I believe no doubt it's very simple. The truth here tonight is this. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, you've seen the testimony of how God has worked and what he's doing now, what he's done, what he's doing, where he's leading. You can have a part in that. You can pray for us and you can partner together with us. And I'm pleading with you to partner with me specifically in praying for me. And here's how you can pray for me. You know, I can't help but think that how does this then apply to us today? See, because I believe it is safe to assume, and I believe everyone ought to say amen to this, that God is still working just as he did in those days 2,000 years ago. God is still working today, and the same way that God is working, the work is done as a result of God blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit being upon the work, and God doing this work through men that are called of God to go and preach the gospel. But then just as the Apostle Paul was asking these Christians to partner together with him and praying for him, I believe the same truth stands for us today, that as men of God go and they go to these different countries, as they go to preach the gospel, that we ought to be partnering together with them in specifically praying for them. See, it's easy sometimes to be able to sit in a pew, and as the Lord gives and motivates you, and as the Lord challenges you, it's easy sometimes to sit in a pew, and as the offering plate passes by, you write the check or you put in the money and designate it for missions, and as the Lord has led you, you give your faith promise missions and you give it faithfully, and I'm thankful for that. But can I challenge you this evening that as God has led you to partner together with missionaries and giving to them and financially supporting them so that they can go to the mission field, that is not the end of your responsibility. That as you've chosen to partner together with missionaries, your responsibility is to also partner together with them in praying for them. That don't neglect the responsibility and the blessing of being able to pray for the missionaries. Because just as you give to missions and you support missionaries, you have a part in what they're doing. But can I tell you that God does some incredible things that when you pray for missionaries, amen, he's saying you have an active part in what God is doing in and through them. You know, sometimes as the Lord has allowed us to travel and I've met a lot of different people, sometimes you encounter some of the sweetest elderly folk. And man, they're on a fixed income and they barely have any money. And they're doing all they can and they're giving $5 a month to Faith Promise Missions. And they tell you, you know, I wish I could do more, but this is all I could do. And then they follow it up by saying, but what I do is I pray. I pray. And I pray for the missionaries by name. I pray for them. You know what? She giving $5 or she just getting on her knees and faithfully praying for missionaries, she is partnering together with them just as you are giving. See, it's the important aspect of partnering together with missionaries and not neglecting the responsibility of praying for missionaries. And we'll real briefly tonight, can I encourage you as the Apostle Paul here, as he was given this example of saying, here's how you can pray for me and pray for what God is doing through me. As the Apostle Paul stated in regard to safety, many of us have heard stories of different events that have taken place all across the globe with different missionaries. Serving in a different field, serving in a different country at times can be dangerous. And I believe an important aspect of praying for missionaries is not just saying, Lord, please bless so-and-so. Lord, please bless so-and-so. But it's specifically praying for them. In a very specific way. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying, is pray for me specifically this way. And I believe we can take an example from that tonight and say, Lord, missionaries, you know the situations they're in, you know the challenges, you know the safety aspects that they face on a regular basis. Lord, would you protect the missionaries? Would you give them safety? Would you protect them physically from harm? Not just that, but Lord, would you protect them from the attacks of Satan? Would you protect them specifically and protect them not just physically, but protect them spiritually? Because we got to remember, most of these missionaries, they're going to areas the gospel maybe hasn't been preached. For many years, Satan has had a stronghold in those areas. And he would want nothing more than to silence that gospel message that is being preached. At times, missionaries face attacks from the Satan like you would never imagine. So can I challenge you tonight? Would you pray for missionaries? Pray for their safety. And not just physically, but pray for them spiritually. And then secondly, we see here tonight, he says this. Pray for missionaries that as they faithfully serve God, that God would give them fruit. That God would give them fruit, and that as they faithfully serve there, that they would see people reached with the gospel, and that God would bless them in that way by giving them fruit. You know what? Then thirdly, I believe it goes hand in hand with praying that God would bless them and give them fruit. You know, there have been times in Russia, it's discouraging. There have been times in Russia that we've served and, man, it just seems like we're witnessing to everyone and trying to reach people and just nothing seems to be happening. You know, sometimes the thought begins to cross your mind, is it really worth being here? Does it really seem like we're being able to do much, like we're accomplishing much? Is it really worth it? Especially in Magadan, as I said in the video, it's lonely at times. It's discouraging at times. And then that leads this. Would you pray that missionaries, that they'd be refreshed and encouraged? You know, I think of missionary William Carey. I believe it was that as God led him to India, he served there for 7 years. And as he served in India for 7 years, he didn't have a single person accept Christ as their Savior. Imagine that, 7 years, no fruit to show. Imagining the discouraging thoughts that Satan would place in his mind. Why are you even here? Can I challenge you tonight? Pray for missionaries that they would be encouraged. You never know what the difference that would mean to them. Day and age we live in, we have technology, it's super easy. You go on Facebook, you could send an email, you could send a text message, and they'll receive it just like that. And you never know what just a few words jotted down that with meaning, with heart, saying, listen, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you today, praying that you'd be refreshed and encouraged in the Lord. Just receiving those very words, you never know how that right there would could minister to the heart of a missionary that is struggling, that the thoughts begin to roam in his mind, and he receives that email, and it encourages him, and it refreshes him. So can I challenge you tonight, Lighthouse Baptist Church family? As God has led you to partner together with missionaries, God has led you to partner together with our family, and you've done so, and we truly appreciate it over the last 9 years. You folks are a blessing to us. Can I challenge you tonight? Don't forget about the responsibility of not just giving, and not just the responsibility of it, but the privilege of it. Of not just giving, but the privilege of being able to partner together with your missionaries in praying for them. The Apostle Paul, and I close with this, he said this, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Would you be faithful to pray for your missionaries? Partner together with them. Pray for them. Let's pray this evening. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for this very simple truth the Apostle Paul wrote here. As he was encouraging these Christians, Lord, to partner together with him in praying for him and the ministry that God has called him to. And God, as we apply this truth in our lives today, Lord, help us not to forget about the privilege and not to neglect the responsibility of praying for those that you have led us to partner together with. Father, I pray you'd have your will and way in this invitation now. And Father, I pray that you would have spoken to hearts tonight. Lord, now continue to do the work that only you can do. It's your wonderful name we pray.